after 11 p.m. here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer.
Can you climb a tree?
No! Why would I? What? No! Of course not!
Can you swim?
Lugie! Hopefully everybody's having a very pleasant Lug evening as we finish up this Big Lugowski, a five-hour after hours. And then I'll be back with you tomorrow after the Yankee game, after the Yankee post game. So let's figure 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock, whatever the case may be. And then I'll take you all the way up till 2 a.m. The speech that James Dolan gave to the Knicks before the playoffs started, it's one of the greatest things that I think any owner in New York sports history has ever said and has ever done. Go out of your way to listen to this. It'll make you want to run through a wall. And when you saw the fight that this Knicks team had, especially in the fourth quarter, and you listened to this speech that James Dolan gave them before the playoffs started, I think there is a direct correlation. You know, it's amazing. James Dolan went from a villain in this town, much maligned, so many things negatively said about him. And now here we are. The Knicks have won a championship. I think James Dolan has come off great in the interviews that he's done with Craig and C-Mac. Very likable, very personable. Like, he understood exactly the gravity of the situation. And he laid that out in the speech as well. What he said to Knicks fans, essentially apologizing for all the years of futility. As soon as the Knicks won a championship, I think that won him some points as well. And we're getting to the situation here where, dare I say, James Dolan is now becoming beloved here in this city for bringing us a championship, for hiring Leon Rose, and for now saying all the right things. I mean, the speech was unbelievable. It truly is one of the greatest things I've ever heard an owner say in New York sports history, and one of the greatest things a owner has ever done. To be passionate, to speak from the heart, to just motivate this team and say all these wonderful things about them and what it would mean if they won a championship. Big time stuff. You could say whatever you want about James Dolan in the past, but now he is on the mountaintop of owners in this city. His team is on the mountaintop of the city. They are on the mountaintop of the NBA. They're the toast of the town and the toast of the league. And James Dolan has a lot to do with that. And his image continues to get better and better and better in the eyes of not only the media, but also the fans. It's a complete 180. Not many, if any, thought we'd ever see this day, but the day has arrived where James Dolan is now saying and doing things that make him the best owner in New York sports. It's just part of the remarkable turnaround that the Knicks franchise has had over the last couple of years. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours here on The Fan. Another 55 minutes to go, and then coming up at midnight, it will be the first show. Now, I don't think it's the first time, because I think Al called into Gallo yesterday on Sunday, but it'll be the first show, 5 hours, and you know he's pumped up, you know he's psyched, you know he's ready to go. Diehard Knicks fan Al Cintron will be on for the next 5 hours following me here on The Fan, and he will be giving all his takes and sharing all his emotion for the first championship for the Knicks in his lifetime, which I think completes the set for Al, right? He's seen the I always forget this about Al. Not that he's a Commander fan, but that he's seen them win a bunch of Super Bowls. I always forget that. You know what it is? It's because they've been, and he knows this, they've been so bad for so long. You forget that they've even won so many times that they've won. They've been horrible for so long.
Do you think Al shed a tear Saturday night? I think he probably did.
Al strikes me as an emotional guy. I think he did. But because, like I said, it completed the set. And when you have that sort of situation, when you have your, what do they call that? Oh, Grand Slam in golf. When you finish off all the majors there.
And tennis.
Okay. We could have just left it at golf. We didn't need I don't think I don't think the tennis people were offended there. I think the golf people were happy. I don't think the tennis people cared. I think I got the point across. I don't think we needed an additional end there. Do you agree or disagree? Obviously you disagree, but I think
you also could have said
are you going to critique the show now?
No,
back
I'm not, but you could have said when three players are on base in baseball, that's a grand slam. You could have used the actual grand slam terminology.
No, but that's actually the wrong terminology.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's not a grand slam. That he hit a grand slam, it's the grand slam in golf or tennis where you win all the majors. When you hit a grand slam in baseball, that's not the equivalent of Al Cintron seeing all his teams win a championship.
It's the same concept.
Of course it's not.
No, of course it is.
Of course it's not.
You're out of your mind.
I'm not out of my mind. I'm 100% right here.
You're getting
I'm 100% right.
You're getting four things.
You won all of the majors. You've seen all your teams win a championship, right?
Agreed, yes.
That is the comp. Not there's three people on base, you hit the ball over the fence, and you have a grand slam there in your pocket, and you have four ribeyes.
Is this everything in common is four? It's four. You're getting four.
So if you get fouled shooting a three-pointer and it's a four-point play, you hit the free throw, is that the same as winning?
It's a grand slam. Half of
No, it's not. It's the same terminology, but it has nothing to do with each other. Nothing.
It's the four horsemen, man. It's J.J. Dillon.
So Al's coming up at midnight. I'm sure he's going to be super pumped up for multiple reasons. Number one, he doesn't have to work with Rosenberg. And number two, his beloved New York Knicks, all of our beloved New York Knicks, have won a championship for the first time in 53 years. And for guys like me and Al, for the first time in our life. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Sam is in Dallas, Texas. What's up, Sam?
Hey. As a casual Knicks fan, it's nice for the Knicks to win. Especially after hearing the speech today that I heard that James Dolan gave to the team before the finals.
Yep.
Shows that they really came together, and it meant more than just the basketball game. But for me, as I'm a bigger Mets and Jets fan than a Knicks fan,
mm-hmm.
I think it gives hope to those teams.
Absolutely.
That have been so bad for so long, that if a team like the Knicks, who were so bad, they can also get over the top and in some way figure it out, even if it doesn't seem likely right now.
Yeah, and I've talked about that a lot, specifically with the Jets, because the Jets are now where the Knicks were for so many years, and that is in the toilet. That is the worst team in sports, not just New York sports. The Jets now, unfortunately, have had it for a while here, that moniker, that dubious distinction of being the worst franchise in all of sports. They basically have every negative record that you could possibly hold. They are the undisputed champs in terms of the worst franchise in sports. But, and this is for all the Jet fans out there right now, you can use the Knicks as not only a source of hope, but as a model of what to do, as a blueprint of what to do. And that is, even though, hey, they'll never win a championship as long as Woody Johnson is the owner. Just like we heard for years, the Knicks will never win a championship with James Dolan. Meanwhile, James Dolan basically leading the charge here with the motivational speech before the playoffs has now got a champion, has now got a ring, is now the toast of this city. Same thing could be for Woody Johnson. He just has to do what James Dolan did, which is hire the right person. Now, perhaps they've already done that. Still remains to be seen. And now that person has to draft that quarterback to be the Jets' Jalen Brunson. Whether that guy's Arch Manning, whether he's Dante Moore. I know they drafted Cade Klubnik. I'm not a big Cade Klubnik fan. To be fair, I wasn't the biggest Jalen Brunson, I suppose, supporter. So perhaps that's good news for Cade Klubnik. But I don't think he's going to be the guy. I hope he is for the Jet fans. I do. I just don't think he is. I think your quarterback is next year. Your quarterback of the future. So whether it's Arch, whether it's Dante Moore, whoever it may be, if that player can turn into Jalen Brunson, not just skill set wise, but in terms of the intangibles, all of a sudden you have the foundation now for what can be a team that can get to the playoffs and hopefully for you guys one day win a Super Bowl. But the Knicks, they were where the Jets are now. The Knicks were hopeless. The Jets are hopeless. But the Knicks prove that even though at one point you can be hopeless, there is always hope, believe it or not. If you hire the right people, if you select the correct personnel, and you build that team around that stud quarterback in the case of football, in this case with the Knicks, a point guard, and great things can happen. And all of a sudden, all the tears of pain turn into tears of joy because the Jets can be where the Knicks are right now. And I hope for a Jet fan's sake that that has not at the hands of the Giants or anything like that. And the Giants are obviously in great shape. But the reason why I'm obviously not going to put the Giants, and listen, the Giants have been as bad as the Jets for a while now. I'm not going to pull any punches there. I've been very clear about how I feel about the Giants over the last bunch of years. But the Giants obviously have had a lot of championships and a lot of success and a lot of parades, where the Jets have been very much the long and suffering fan base, and now they hold that dubious distinction and that honor that you don't want, and that is the worst franchise, not only in New York, but in all of sports. And they have the worst owner in all of sports, but even with that, there is hope. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Josh is calling here on After Hours. What's up, Josh?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I just want to say, we listen to you all the time. We're New York transplants living in Florida right now. We listen to it on the Odyssey app. I'm actually with my 11-year-old son and 8-year-old daughter. We came up for the parade, and you've hit the nail on the head. This is so special for me. I'm a 43-year-old dad. I'm, you know, lifelong Knicks fan. We've been through it all, and now I get to share it with my son, with my daughter. My 4-year-old stayed up for the game. We're amped up. We're ready for the parade. This is amazing. Everything's amazing. I think the guy that is missing some of the accolades that he needs, you got to give something to Tommy Tibbs.
Yeah, Thibodeau, absolutely.
And Jay Wright. I mean, they've made these guys hard, right? They've made these guys into what they are. They sculpt them into just mental toughness, and that's what all kids should be, athlete-wise. When you go in, that's the difference between making a champion and making a Wemby, right? Wemby wasn't mentally tough. Our team was, and we got the ring, and it's time to celebrate. Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you, and I'm happy that you and your children got to enjoy that moment, and that both of them are going to be at this parade. What a special night and special week and special day Thursday is going to be for not only you as a father, but for your kids. It's a lifelong memory that you'll have, that they'll have, and then hopefully one day they can have it with their children. I mean, what's better than that? Nothing. Literally nothing. That bond between a parent and their kids with something like that, it's as good as it gets. And that's what sports is. It brings families together. You got into sports because of a family member. Somewhere along the line, a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a sibling, they introduced you to this wonderful world known as sports. And it's not always wonderful. It's not always a healthy relationship. But when you get these type of experiences and you get to experience it with your kids or whoever, you'll take that with you for the rest of your life. And the sights and sounds of Thursday are just going to be euphoric for generations of Knicks fans. I literally cannot wait for it. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay here on After Hours. What's up,
Tommy? Tommy, number one, you mentioned it. I'm going to reinforce what you said. This man, Mr. Brunson, has ice water in his veins.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anybody, and I've been watching a whole lot of the NBA, as strong as he is the last couple of minutes of a game. He's in line with Jordan, with Curry.
Yes.
And a couple of the others there.
Kobe.
And talking about anti-people, Mr. Silver better wake up, because he thinks that Wembanyama's the face of the league. To me, he's a guy, he's an underhanded guy, and he's a dirty player. He shouldn't be the face of anything, but maybe on a wanted poster. And I also want to tell you, I'll be around for the parade. I'm coming with my kids. I got 6 grandchildren.
Beautiful.
And I'm looking forward to it. I always talk to them about the Knicks. And 5 out of the 6 are Knicks fans. The other one don't like sports. So I'll be there, and let's go, Knicks, and next year, another one coming up.
Oh, I love it, Phil. I love the optimism, love the story there. Phil, a great caller, will call me throughout the season, always wants to talk about the Knicks. He's a great fan. He's a great Knicks fan, and that's great that you get to go with your kids, and it sounds like maybe your grandchildren as well. That's awesome. You know, generations of Phil's family get to enjoy this championship because that's what it's all about. That's 53 years. That's what it'll do to you. And a lifetime for people like me, 53 years for others. That's what this is about. And the culmination is celebration of that. Now, you talked about Wemby there. Did I want to? Oh, my bad. Are my headphones plugged in? I didn't hear you. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Hey, Tommy.
Yes.
We did it,
we
baby!
Did it!
The coalition is dead! All of you fake-ass Nick haters can kiss my Puerto Rican ass, baby! I'll see you at midnight. Thank you, Tommy.
That, of course, was Al. I am not Puerto Rican, so that would be Al. That would be Al Cintron.
Oh, is that Al Cintron? I had no idea who that was.
Good to see Al. And right, it completed his set, right? This is the last team he needed to win a championship.
Yeah, it completed the Grand Slam.
When he said this a couple weeks ago on the air, and I thought about it, I was like, and it's not even a slight, but, and obviously the rivalry between the Giants and Washington is well documented. But I forget, like, oh, that's right. Al sees all these championships with the then Redskins. I'm thinking that they haven't won a damn championship in 50 years. It certainly feels that way at times with them. Yeah, I didn't think I had my... Were you trying to get my ear there, Rosie?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Do it again as I start talking right now. Go ahead, talk. Yeah, I hear you. So you weren't talking. I didn't hear you. I had a... Well, maybe I didn't have it... Oh,
there are times...
Oh, you hit the wrong button.
No, there are times where half of your...
Pluggy thingy? Quarter inch.
Well, it's not all the way in to the headphone establishment. And
nothing you said there,
it.
I think, is accurate or the right terminology, but I think you're right in the sense that I don't either fully plug it in or there is a little bit of a disconnect between the what you call quarter inch and the wiring in my headphones. Because I look up, I see you there, I see Al there, and I'm thinking, did I say something wrong? Did you guys talk on the radio? I didn't hear it. That's why I was just like, just start talking. Because
yes.
I can't hear anything in my ears that happened the other night.
Did you hear what Al just said? Do you want me to
pull it? No, the Puerto Rican ass part I got. That part I got. And everybody got it. And he's right. The coalition has been silenced. Al Cintron, ladies and gentlemen, he's coming up at midnight. It'll take you for 5 hours, so expect that kind of energy for the overnight here on The Fan. Wemby's stock has completely plummeted. You know, the league, the gatekeepers in the national media, they wanted to anoint Wemby as the face of the league, as the best player in the league, as a guy that is ahead of schedule and going to win a championship this year on his way to a dynasty. And that didn't happen. In fact, the opposite happened. Wemby was completely exposed as a baby, as a guy with poor sportsmanship, as a guy that's not clutch. I question his intestinal fortitude. I question his heart. Several times throughout this playoff run, not just against the Knicks, he showed signs of being a dirty player. I start to look at him now the same way I look at Embiid, which is not a category you want to be in. So everybody wanted to crown Wemby, certainly in the national media, certainly the league. They wanted Wemby to be their poster child, their poster boy, their face of the league, their golden boy, and the opposite happened. Wemby is now a villain, not just in New York. I think he's a villain across the league, and not in a good way either. He skipped the media session in the Western Conference Finals. He just comes off like a sore loser, a baby, a guy that talks trash but really can't back it up. So sort of a fake tough guy. A dirty player. And worst of all, a guy that doesn't have the clutch gene. So that Wemby stock has completely plummeted. Jalen Brunson is the face of the league, not Wemby. And Wemby has a long way to go. He's got to put on about 20 pounds. He's got to grow up. And maybe, maybe one day he could be the face of the league. But he's going to have to take that away from Jalen Brunson. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours here on The Fan. Loogie in the late night. We got about 40 minutes to go. Let's head out to Andrew in Brooklyn on The Fan. What's up, Andrew?
Loogie, what's good, man?
What's happening, bro?
Yeah, man, I knew this real quick about Brunson and the point guard position, but I knew this was special when me and my wife was arguing about who's more important. Metric Man, Ghostface, and the Wu talking about Nixon 5 or Taylor Swift. She's arguing Taylor Swift. I'm like, please don't bring that in here. It's about the Wu right now.
No.
And I'm like, hold on. Look at what we arguing about. This is special. But anyway, you know what's special about Brunson? You grow up in Brooklyn or the five boroughs. It's all about the point guard position. That's what we produce. We produce guards.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been a big fan of the Derrick Roses. And I'm not just talking about just New York point guards, but just like flashy, nice, just nice with the pill. Baron Davis, Westbrook, Steve Franchise. And you know what's special about Brunson? When these guys hit 30 or they get that injury, they try to change their game to Brunson, and it usually doesn't work out. You know, Brunson at his age, what's special about this is that his game is not forceful to the point where he's going to fizzle out. I think he could give us a good 5 more years of this, if possible. And the guys I named, and you look at the history of the point guard position, a lot of these guys fizzle out at 32, 30, 33, or whatnot.
Well, especially if they're not able to shoot. And that's the key, especially with a guy like Russell Westbrook. I mean, when you lose that burst and you lose that ability to get to the rim and that speed and that part of your game, Brunson is a great shooter. And if anything, he's getting better and better. So I think his ability with the mid-range and the three-pointer, even if he loses a little bit by getting older, which happens in terms of a step, he'll be able to drain shots because he has the ability to shoot the ball. And some of the guys you mentioned did not.
Exactly. Right. And that's the thing. They tried to develop that when they could. You even look at the John Morant.
Yeah.
Who's starting to already decline.
No doubt. 100%. You know, no doubt about it.
So this is, you know, I know we don't want to talk about future too soon, but
I do.
That's what's special about
I have no problem, Andrew. You know what? Well, hold on a second. The Knicks were a joke for years. They didn't win a title for 53 years. They're doing things that dynastic teams do. I think they have the best player in the league. You're damn right I want to talk about the future
because I don't think
this team's going anywhere anytime soon.
So I got one future question then. One future question, since it's okay.
Of course.
As you're the GM, and you don't want to just sit on your laurels, right? Of course we're going to run it back. But what do you see the first thing you would address with the Knicks? Curious to hear your thoughts.
Okay, and great question there. And that's going to be a conversation that, and I was just talking about this off-air with Rosenberg, that we are going to pivot to probably next week or so. Right now, it's all about the celebrating, even though I've been talking about the future in that. Next week, we'll have long-form conversations about the future of this team because I want a dynasty, or as they say across the pond, it is World Cup season, a dynasty. I think the Knicks are head and shoulders the best team in the Eastern Conference. I think they have the best player in the sport. They have the best executive in the sport. They have the most cohesion on any team in the league. They are all in their prime. They have the best starting five in the sport. Should I continue to go on and talk about the Knicks and how great I think they are? And their heart and determination that they have? And the grit, never say die attitude? You think it's a one and done? No shot. No shot. So I'm thinking big picture. I'm thinking championships. Because the Knicks, what they were able to do throughout this run, when you compare it to what other teams did, meaning you win the first two games of the NBA Finals on the road. Only two other teams ever did that in history. Jordan Bulls, they won multiple championships. Olajuwon Rockets, they won multiple championships. Then you look at the winning streak that they had. They were able to eclipse the one that the Spurs had in 99. Obviously, that led not by all those players, but certainly with the cornerstone being Tim Duncan, multiple championships. They almost tied, basically came close. So I'm going to say it's basically tied. The Warriors and what they were able to do, that was a dynastic team. So the Knicks were doing things this playoff run that teams that were dynasties did. Dynasties. Not just one and done. And they say all the time, well, what does it take to be a champion year in and year out? You have to have the best player in the sport, right? Or one of the top players. I think he's the best, but I don't know how you argue he's not top five. I mean, that would just be absolute blasphemy if you came on the radio or on television and told me that Jalen Brunson's not top five. When you have that player, top five, and he is everything that I've laid out, Jeter, Eli Manning, you have the right coach now, who I think is the new Joe Torre and Mike Brown. He was not their first choice, the Knicks, but he was the right choice. And you have the best starting five in the sport. Like I said, can I go on any further? The defense, the cohesion, everything. I just think this is the start of something very, very, very special. And it comes off like I'm being maybe greedy or maybe being, hey, this guy just won a championship a couple days ago. Pipe down and enjoy this. I'm enjoying it, believe me, and I'm going to continue to enjoy it. But I don't see this as the end of the road. I don't see this, especially, you look at Jalen Brunson, do you see a guy that looks content with one championship? He's wired exactly like all the greats that won a lot. Tiger, Brady, Jeter, Jordan, Kobe, all those guys that won a ton of championships, they had that same look that Jalen Brunson has. And you know what that look is? Like they're bored. Like they're like, oh, we won a championship. Okay. Like they just have that look of it's not over. There's still a lot of work to be done. We'll celebrate for a couple days and then let's go back to the drawing board and read all the negative stuff said about us on social media. Let's turn on ESPN and hear about how we got hot at the right time, which is a backhanded compliment. We'll listen to, oh, you know, this they're not really the favorites, though, going into next year. The Vegas odds have the Celtics ahead of the Knicks in as far as the odds next year. Oh, if the Celtics right now want to put their uniforms on and face the Knicks, and this is what the Knicks partying, especially Mikal Bridges, and OG Anunoby, if you saw him on Good Morning America, I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, good for them. If the Celtic players want to put their uniforms on right now, put their sneakers on and play the Knicks in a best of seven series, I'm game for it because the Knicks are going to run them out of the freaking building. I'm telling you right now, I wish we got the opportunity to see that series, to shut everybody in Boston up. With that squad, with their embarrassing front court. The idea that the Celtics are favored over the Knicks next year is laughable. But okay, that's fine. And I'm sure we'll hear about the Detroit Pistons. Look what they did to the Knicks in the regular season and blah, 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 blah. That's what it sounds like to me. Nonsense. That's what it is. Everybody wants to continue to doubt this team. Well, perfect. Because the way, and we took a caller a couple of calls ago, and he's 100% spot on. Look, we want to give Tibbs his flowers, and he deserves it. Jay Wright deserves it as well for molding Brunson and Josh Hart and Bridges. And you got guys that came into this league that came from a great program, a winning program, and that's what they are. They're winners. Jalen Brunson is a winner. High school level, one. College level, one. Pros, he won. He wins. And he is in a very select group of guys that have done that. We're talking about Bill Walton. We're talking about Kareem. We're talking about Bill Russell. I mean, we're talking about all the Bill Russell. I mean, does it get any better than that in terms of winning? Same thing with Kareem. And if Bill Walton didn't get hurt, ask anybody that was around back then. If Bill Walton didn't get hurt, he would have won a ton too. And he did win, you know, both with Boston and Portland. And obviously, one of the all-time great college players at UCLA. I'm getting pumped up. Let's get back. I want to start playing basketball again here. Let's just get the season started again. How could you not want to? How could you not want to? Tommy Lugauer.
Are you kidding me?
Lugie. Final segment here of the night on After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just 1 second. This Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. You know, I want to give Tibbs his flowers. He turned the Knicks from LOL Knicks into a program that won every year as far as getting to the playoffs, a team you could be proud of, a team moving in the right direction. I think he built the mental toughness that was forged by Jay Wright with his Villanova guys and then the rest of this team kind of follows suit. But Tibbs, he might not have been the guy to get them over the hump to win the championship if Tibbs goes down as the Buck Showalter to Mike Brown's Joe Torre, so be it. But Tibbs, and I hope the Knicks can honor him in some way. I'm sure he's got to be going through mixed emotions. I'm sure a part of him is happy for this team. He's happy for this city, for this franchise, for the fan base. But there's got to be a part of him that's sick over it, because this could have been him sitting there winning a championship, which I'm sure he would have loved to have that opportunity to win a championship with this group. And it's unfortunate that wasn't the case for him. But I think out loud that, you know, the things that Mike Brown was able to do here, whether it's being part of a committee, listening to his coaches, listening to upper management, unlocking guys like Bridges, unlocking guys like Karl Anthony Towns, playing the bench, developing young players, which is important. You know, we've talked about the future already here. You think about Kolick, you think about Diawara, you think about Huck Porty, you think about guys that can be contributors to this team, certainly off the bench and beyond going forward. That is important. If you're going to want to win multiple championships, you got to develop your young players, you got to establish your bench, and you got to manage the minutes and also push all the right buttons in a playoff run and make the necessary adjustments. And I think they love Tibbs, but they played hard for Mike Brown. They played tough for Mike Brown. They didn't give up for Mike Brown. And I think his personality and everything that he brings to the table, you know, a new, fresh voice, really was advantageous for this team. And Tibbs deserves his flowers, certainly. I hope he gets a moment somehow, some way. I don't know if the Knicks want to invite him to something. He might decline, but at least you reached out. But in some form or fashion, you'd like to see, and I know this doesn't always happen in sports, and like I said, Buck Showalter, sort of the good luck Chuck, if you've seen the movie, and Joe Torre now reaps the benefit. And it wasn't the first, or was it the only time that's happened with Buck's career, but Tibbs not winning the big one, not getting to the finals, not winning a championship, and then the next year that team wins a championship, that's got to be bittersweet for him. Because like I said, I think he loves these players, he loves his city, he loves his franchise, and he loves the fan base. But at the same time, it's only human to be upset about that. Like, it would be ridiculous if he wasn't. Like, it's just human nature to be a little envious, a little bit, I guess, jealous of that fact that this team won a championship the year after he was fired. And Mike Brown came in here and was an instrumental part of that championship in his first year. That says a lot about Mike Brown. With all the pressure in the world on him, by the way, I mean, there were talks of him getting fired in the middle of the year. Now it's all sunshine and rainbows. Now it's all bliss. But let's not forget how this season unfolded. Let's not forget when the Knicks were booed almost out of the building on Martin Luther King Day when they lost to the Mavs. Let's not forget how poorly they played after the NBA Cup. Let's not forget that there were some people even saying, hey, Mike Brown could get fired here after another loss. There was a ton of pressure on Mike Brown. There was a ton of pressure on this franchise, on this team, not just because of the expectations that they had, which was got to get to the finals bare minimum, but also the fact that they fired a popular coach, a coach that got him to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, a coach that turned this franchise around. It was not a popular decision to let go of Tibbs. And it was not a popular decision to hire Mike Brown. And there were going to be people coming out of the woodworks to criticize them if this Mike Brown experiment in year one did not go the way it went. But much like Leon Rose has done throughout his career with the Knicks, he made the unpopular decision, something that wasn't universally applauded, and we all thought we knew better than Leon Rose, and we found out quickly that, in this case, maybe not right away, but through time, that Leon Rose knows better than all of us. And we should all trust Leon Rose, let him cook, and let him continue to build a what I hope to be a dynastic team. Because whether it's Brunson and him being the centerpiece and building around him, whether it's trading for Anunoby, five first-round picks traded away for Mikal Bridges, trading away Dante and Julius for Karl-Anthony Towns, firing Tibbs, hiring Mike Brown, so on and so forth, trading for Alvarado, signing Clarkson. And listen, another guy that's sitting around, Malcolm Brogdon, I mean, he was supposed to be the final roster spot. And then he, of course, retired. And Landry Shamet had a battle for the final roster position. Well, how important did that end up being? And how great was Landry Shamet in this run? He, like a lot of guys, contributed greatly. Even Deuce, who did not have a good finals, couldn't buy a bucket, he still had that game in game four against the Sixers when Anunoby was out in the closeout game. So you could look to a man on this team, the guys that played significant minutes, that got opportunities, obviously the starters and then the bench players, everybody had their moment. Everybody played their best basketball at some point and contributed to this win. And everybody can hang their head high and say, you know what? I was a part of this championship run, not just as far as putting the uniform on, but I was able to contribute to this run. And that's what makes great teams. And the Knicks are a great team, led by a great player, the best player in the sport, in my estimation right now, and that is Jalen Brunson. And what a journey that has been for him to go from overlooked, undervalued, underrated, underpaid, which is going to change, by the way. That definitely will change. And I understand. Listen, you know what? I say, because I know somebody wanted to ask me this, and I was thinking about this coming into work. I'm also putting my brain in Jalen Brunson's brain, and if I was him, I'd want the bag. I'm like, pay me. You could write him you could give him a blank check at this point for what he has done for this franchise, for this city, the king of New York. You can't pay him enough. That being said, knowing Jalen Brunson and how humble he is and how much he loves his team, and by the way, he's getting paid a lot of money, but for what he's completely underpaid, but he is still getting, comparably speaking to everybody else walking the face of the earth, he's getting paid a ton of money. But much like Tom Brady, who always seemed to take a discount because it helped and benefited the team, and it also benefited Brady. Like, Brunson's no dummy. The better his team is, the better he will be, the more he will win, the better that will be for his career, post-career legacy. So he's not stupid. Take less now to make more later. Just ask Tom Brady. I could see that being the route of Jalen Brunson, where he's always taking that discount because he knows it's going to make the team better around him. It's not going to handcuff the team. And the better the team is, the better he will be, and the more success he will have individually and collectively. And that's where Jalen Brunson just totally gets it. And then once his career is over, I mean, we're talking about first ballot Hall of Famer. We're talking about a legend in this town. And quite possibly, when it's all said and done, now he's got to win more championships, but quite possibly, when it's all said and done, he will go down as the greatest Knick of all time. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn here on After Hours. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Tommy? Hey. Met and Jet fan, so Saturday was the first one I ever got to see. I can't even think about having a set like that. You said something about the national media. Mm-hmm. You immediately came to mind how cynical and how much of a jerk they are to New York and the Knicks in general.
Yes.
They wanted to crown Wimby.
Sure did.
That's not happening.
Nope.
They wanted to minimize the Knicks' path. I keep hearing about how weak the Eastern Conference is, even though it's won two out of the last three championships. I keep hearing about how weak the Knicks' path was, even though they just knocked out the Spurs in five games.
Yep.
I'm so tired of the cynicism, and the best part about this is so much of that media has to eat it and can't say a word. They doubted Brunson. They joked about the free agency. I saw all the little clips of, this is who the Knicks are giving $100 million to. And now they got a stuff in. I love every minute of it.
No doubt,
Can't
Mike.
Can't wait to go to the parade.
Yep.
Can't wait to go to the parade.
Same. And I think that for now, the media will pivot to, hey, what could they do? They're going to give the flowers to the Knicks. They're going to give the flowers to Jalen Brunson. But I promise you, in a couple of weeks, the narrative will be more about they got hot at the right time, which is a backhanded compliment. They'll talk about if the Celtics get Giannis, if Detroit could get another star player, Halliburton's back, the Western Conference is still the best conference. I'm telling you right now, they are going to disparage the Knicks as soon as they get the opportunity to do so. I'm telling you, they don't want them. They don't want this city. They don't, because Knicks fans are arrogant and we're delusional and maybe at times annoying. Nobody wants the face of the, as far as in the media, national media, they don't want the Knicks and everything they represent to be at the top of the mountain, and they'll do everything in their power to sort of will it to not be the case.
Why do you think they're so obsessed with the Western Conference?
I don't know what it is about being obsessed with the Western Conference, to be honest with you. I think there's also just a bias against New York. I just think that because we're the greatest city, I think there's a jealousy. As far as the Western Conference, I don't know. I'm not sure. But there's obviously a bias there, and there's been a bias there, but the Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're the best team in the sport. And until somebody knocks them off their perch and defeats them next year, they are the champions of the world. And that is just undisputable.
Well, wait till they see this parade. And they're going to see what the best city is in the country.
Oh, they know it.
They see this parade.
They know it, Mike. And I appreciate the call. Believe me, they know it. They know it. It's the theory of New York is the biggest market. It's the biggest fan base. There's arrogance. There's delusion. There's passion. And when you couple that with a championship, now you're talking about an unstoppable force. And that's the last thing that they want. But learn to love it. Because that's exactly what is going to happen. Warren G is in the Bronx. What's up, Warren G?
Yo, what's goody, my guy?
Hey,
yo, I'm going to keep this phone call super, super quick. All right, yo, for one, Rosenberg earlier, yo, great analogy with the grand slam. I ain't going front. That was good. But, yo, besides all that, not to get off the Knicks subject, two quick questions. One, there was a guy that, older guy, he used to call in all the time when you used to, when you first got your cat, and he used to guide you through it. He used to, you know, call in. I wonder, like, is he doing good? I don't really hear from him. And the second question was, since the Knicks won the championship, does, like, your wifey, like, she be dressing the cat up in, like, Knicks gear? Or, like, how does that go?
Great question, Warren, on both accounts. I assume you are talking about my buddy Paul in Yonkers, who is doing quite well. I just heard from him last week. There are preliminary talks, we got to go through some logistics, but I think it would be tremendous content on social media. There are talks of myself and Paul and Yonkers going out to Vegas for the first weekend of the NFL season. And we would just hang at the sports book and just have a good old time. He's invited me out there. He's already booked, I think, like 6 or 7 nights out in Vegas. He's well known. He's well connected out there. I have a short list of about 25 demands that need to be met. And as long as he meets them and Vegas meets them, then I think Positive Tommy would love to be out there. I think it would be great content for this radio station.
Want a power hit of.
I understand that. And I want a limo to pick me up. And I want the temperature to be 65 degrees when that limo picks me up. I want a suite at the Bellagio. That's just the start. And there are more demands on their way because I want to be wined and dined. I want the red carpet treatment in Sin City. Now,
this sounds great. I can't wait.
The morning show would have a field day with it. The radio station would love it. Now, obviously, it's the start of the football season. I have a responsibility here as a host my first year, so we have to work through perhaps some logistics. But I would be very much intrigued by doing that with Paul and Yonkers, getting to meet Paul, the content. We'd have to bring a social media guy out there, which obviously...
I'm there. You need a producer.
I need somebody that
Tommy
has...
Tommy with two Pauls.
I need somebody with drive. I need somebody with creativity. I need somebody that would actually know to film us when we're doing those things. And you, my friend, do not fit any of the bill. As far as being a member of the crew, absolutely, especially in the sports books and things of that nature. Although you basically have to tie Rosenberg down in the sports book. He can't sit still for more than 30 seconds. He's got to go put money in a machine where there's cherries and cats on it and things like that instead of watching the sporting event as he's more into the slot machine. Speaking of cats, before we get out of here, he did ask me a question. Yes, my wife did bring it up to buy Nick gear to put on our cat to wear. She literally just said it the other day. We have not done that. Although, to her point, she goes, well, the season's over now. We shouldn't do it. I mean, the Knicks did win a championship. Just order something real quick on Amazon like you do with everything else in our life. It'll be there in a couple days, and we throw it on, and he's ready to go, not to the parade, but for the parade. So perhaps we'll get him some Nick gear, and we'll throw him on him, and I'll post some pictures on social media. But no, I'm not bringing Rosenberg to Vegas. Not as my sole digital content guy. But you agree, though, Paul and Yonkers, Positive Tommy, first weekend, because he's going for a week. I obviously can't go for a week. But if I go out there for a couple nights in Vegas, and then once the games are over, Paul will do whatever Paul and Yonkers does after hours, and then I will do whatever I do after hours, and then we'll meet back in the middle at the sports book. But you agree, Rosenberg, that is great content for this radio station?
I can't wait to be there for this. This is going to be wonderful. I can't wait.
I think it's great. I am seriously considering it. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not even like 40% sure. I'm just thinking about it in my brain from a content perspective.
I can't wait to bring this up to Paul when that you invited me. This is great.
No, nobody invited you.
You just invited me.
No, I didn't.
You said great. I said I can't wait to be there. And you
said, Paul and Yonkers, not Paul Rosenberg. I don't want you there. I don't want you there. Now.
But what if Paul wants me there?
Well, he didn't invite you. You're inviting yourself. You're being a schnorrer.
I'm not. You invited me.
No, I didn't.
I mean.
You do have some things you bring to the table that would be useful out in Vegas. That I do agree with.
Can you lend me a few bucks?
Including driving me to the airport. Can I what now?
Can you lend me a few bucks?
I cannot lend you a few bucks. What do you think this is? What do you think I am, an ATM? What do you think this is, a bank? I could just give you money? You could take out a loan? No.
You know what you can do?
No.
You bring me, Connor, and Fliegelman, and that's the trip for your guys.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. That would be, I just think that would be amazing content. Amazing content. First weekend of the NFL season. You also have college football. Paul and Yonkers and Loogie watching the games, hitting the town, Sin City, old school, new school, the power of positivity with Paul and Yonkers. Betting on the games, enjoying all the sights and sounds of the great Las Vegas, Nevada. And the great strip of Vegas. I think that'd be amazing. So I'll talk to upper management about that. Because they're going to have to pay for it. They're going to have to pay for Rosenberg to be out there. They're going to be like, no shot. Lucky they give him a comp day if he works an extra day. 888-808-1019. The phone number to call. That's for Al Cintron. My thanks to the callers. My thanks to the listeners. My thanks to Rosenberg. We'll talk to you tomorrow after the Yankee game here on After Hours. The Knicks are champions of the world.
Radio 101.9 FM.
Of New York has been waiting for this moment.
Y'all heard my story. Y'all know my story. And I just want to say thank you, Mama. I appreciate you getting me one.
The Knicks are NBA champions. For complete coverage of this historic title run, stay with the Fan.